There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the grounds. And this is part of what's going on at the job fair today. We're part of a lot of companies out here and a lot of people that are hopefully getting their first job or their next job. This is through the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission, and it's their business expo and job fair. It's been fun just visiting also with folks that Dalton, I met folks that call in a lot and never seen their faces before, and getting to meet people and person is pretty dang strong. So that's good. Y'all come on by and say hello when you're here. Also, a quick reminder. So Mother's Day is Sunday. If you hadn't checked, let me be here to help warn you. Mother's Day is Sunday, and make your plans accordingly. I would suggest this. If Mama is a fan of craft beer or wine, or maybe, I don't know if she likes spirits, or maybe, what was it, Dalton, the Stogie Moms, or, you know, what'd you call it, Stogie Mom or something like that? If Mom will smoke a cigar too, just maybe stop on by and see them. A kind of chill package. And when you're there, pick up something for Mom. That could be that fine bottle of wine to go with a different gift you got her, like wine and some other things. Or when you're there, buy that for Mom. And then while you're there, buy yourself some craft beer or a cigar or whatever it is. So make sure to stop by and see them at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. They're online at cottagehillpackage.com. And a good thing to do is to like them on Facebook. When you do that, then you'll get updates when they have special beer tastings or wine tastings events or cigar events coming to Cottage Hill Package. You'll get that note on your Facebook page. So once again, Cottage Hill Package, make sure to like them on Facebook, cottagehillpackage.com, or best yet, go see them in person at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right, we'll take some text and some calls at 343-0106. There'll be a little bit of a delay as we are relaying information from back at the main studio to here, but yeah, you can still call in and be part of the show at 343-0106. I want to add something to the list here too, because I was, until I opened up social media, I didn't realize how far behind the fold, and talking to Rob Holbert this morning from Lanyap, when they said they had had some 100,000 votes in the nappies yesterday, and I had not had a chance except once this morning to mention, number one, thank you to all of y'all for the nominations for the radio station in this year's nappies, and now I need your votes as well in the actual voting in the nappies. We are up for favorite radio station, best DJ team, also, and best DJ team, by the way, is the morning show, Mobile Mornings, the show I do with Dalton and Kelly, but also Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. We're competing against our own here for their Sunday morning food and wine show. Also, best local morning show, we're up for that one. Also, best DJ voice, which I'd like to say journalist voice, for our own Kelly Findlay. Also, best talk radio show host for Midday Mobile and also Mobile Mornings. And what's working with Cam Marston. Good job, Cam, my buddy Cam, who does his show on Wednesday evenings here at FM Talk. And how about this? Best sports radio show host or show? How about Sports Night? Of course, that's with Dalton and Corey, and that happens on Monday evenings, and it's up. And so is the Paul Feinbaum show that follows us. So we have one. Let me count along with me. One, two, three, four, five different categories. We are not y'all nominated for us for in the nappies. And sure, appreciate your vote to try to push it on across the finish line there. So thank you very much for your votes. And if you go to votenappies.com, all that information is on there. And if you can, I think you can vote once a day. Yeah, you can vote once a day. Now, if you have multiple, you know, servers and computers, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but you can vote once a day per device. All right. Also going on tonight, part two of the bridge discussion, and that is the Mobile River Bridge and all ancillary subjects. On Tuesday night, it was in Spanish Fort. Tonight is the night for Mobile. It's going to be at the Civic Center. Starts at 4:30 this afternoon. Your chance to see drawings, mock-ups of what the bridge will look like. Also, talk with members of ALDOT about concerns or things you want to add to the mix or have just a public comment on. That starts at 4:30 at the Civic Center and will go through 8 o'clock tonight. So your chance to do that starts at 4:30. So that's two meetings this week. Now, of course, the question is, does it make a hill of beans difference? You know, the toll could be between $3 and $6. Could be a little bit less, but I wouldn't hold your breath on it. But at least you might feel better if you go voice your opinion at this meeting tonight in Mobile. All right, and I mentioned when we went to the break, because I said, you know, we were talking to Trip Pittman last hour and talking about the Republican side for Senate 2020, and said, of course, the Republican side is going to be loaded up because Doug Jones is in office and the Republicans will stack it. But what about having a Democrat trying to primary Doug Jones before they even get to the general? There's a lot to talk about on this, and that's why I bring in my buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, host of Guerrilla Politics. You hear here on Saturdays, of course, read his work in Yellowhammer News, and I'm sure Soldier of Fortune, Bicycle Racer, and anything else I need to add to the list?
No, I mean, covered it all. Pit Fighter.
Pit fighter. There it is. And a pit fighter in the arena of ideas as well. But you start off one of your pieces over at Yellowhammer saying you almost start to feel bad for Senator Doug Jones. And I know that at that point we're about to remove the bait and switch. So walk me through this, Dale.
Well, the point of the piece was to just look at where Doug Jones is on abortion and how he got to this point. And the way he got here is generally just by being a coward and not wanting to take a position. He mealy-mouthed his way through the election in 2017 by not being Roy Moore. And he didn't have to fight a primary, so when he got to the general, he just said, look, I'm not Roy Moore. And if you want Roy Moore, I guess that's good, but I'm not him. And that's generally how he won.
You know, you mentioned him just kind of shirking, you know, the hard takes on positions that are really contrary to where the majority, there's plenty of people in Alabama that agree with him, but the majority of Alabamians disagree with stances on Second Amendment rights and also, like you said, on abortion. He has done this. I said the other day when it first came up and Representative Rogers said what he said about kill him now or kill him later, I said, even though Doug Jones came out and, you know, we realize for effect now, took offense at what was said or the way it was said from Representative Rogers, if Doug Jones was in the House, he'd have voted the same way, Dale. I mean, the vote wouldn't have been any different between those two.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. He's exactly the same on that issue. He's just mad that guys like John Rogers force him into that position to where he has to actually let it be known. That's why with the Kavanaugh vote, the perfect example, with the Kavanaugh vote, he voted against it, but he didn't want to say why he was voting against it. So he made up, his reaction to the allegations is why I voted against it. It's just garbage.
So, I mean, here it is that if you're Doug Jones, you've got to realize it stands through the hourglass for you in the U.S. Senate. But I tell you right now, you're probably really pretty sure that that's going to come from a Republican in the general. What about a chance? Is there, if a Representative Rogers raises the $1 million he talked about or whatever, is it anything other than just a show campaign for him? Is there any idea that somebody could primary Doug Jones for this from the Democrat side?
If John Rogers gets $1 million, he will win the election. But there's no way John Rogers gets $1 million.
Well, that's a catch-22.
Let's leave the electorate. If the electorate in the Democratic Party in Alabama is black, it's just the way it is, and they want abortion to be legal. They may not want it to be legal up until birth or post-birth, like some are saying now, but all he's got to do is stake that position out on Doug Jones, and it's either going to force Jones to come to him, or it could force Jones to lose. I think Rogers could beat Jones if he had a ton of money.
I want to get into that and some of the intra-party politics of the Democrats that I think a lot of people are not aware of. But before that, so you're saying as a strategy, John Rogers comes in, Representative Rogers comes in and says, oh, yeah, well, I'm for abortion to second trimester. I'm abortion to third trimester. I mean, they're going to get in a competition about who's going to go later for abortion. That would be the back and forth in a Democrat primary for U.S. Senate?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but see, even John yeah. Rogers stakes out a position, which is weird, and you hear guys like Dr. Burke on Guerrilla Politics stake the position out as well. I'm pro-choice, or I'm pro-life, but I don't want any restrictions on abortion. It's just dance that they all try to do on the Democratic side that makes no sense and nobody believes. So in a primary, Rogers will say all sorts of crazy stuff. I don't want any restrictions at all. And Doug Jones will either have to match that or he will lose votes in the Democratic primary for it if there is a number of dollars that come in, which I'm not so sure will.
Okay. Is this idea about getting primaried all about just, you know, feeling disrespected by Senator Jones to Representative Rogers, or is this about this fissure we saw back in last year when the Democrats went to war over who was going to run Alabama Democrat Party, the things we've heard about, you know, the party for black folks and then another Democrat party for white folks and the twain shan't mix? I mean, what is going on with Alabama Democrats? It seems like they are their own worst enemies.
Well, it sounds to me, if I had to bet on it, I would think it's about the disrespect thing. Rogers said the thing he said, and then Jones gave him a courtesy call and said, hey, look, man, this thing you just said is a little out there. I agree with you generally, but for political reasons, you understand that I'm going to have to come out and distance myself from you. And then he came out and called Donald Trump Jr., quote, retarded, end quote, and said he should have been aborted. And then I guess Doug Jones got mad again and said, look, you're really killing me now, so you need to knock this off. And John Rogers said, I'm a 78-year-old man. I'm not putting up with this. And they had a little yelling match, and John Rogers said, screw you. You want to come in against me? I'm going to come in against you. This is a personal thing. I don't think John Rogers understands the inter-party politics that are happening or cares about them.
Now we're talking with Dale Jackson from WVNN, also host of Guerrilla Politics, and yeah, pit fighter and mountain climber extraordinaire. What about the lineup here that you've seen on the Republican side? So I just had last hour former state senator Tripp Pittman talking with me. He's, you know, toying with the idea enough to say he's 50-50 on deciding whether he's in or not. If he gets in, who does he keep anybody out? Can anybody get in before him that would keep him out? And then, you know, how's everybody lining up in their lanes? We always talk about these lanes, right? You got the grassroots lane, which I don't know if that's always going to be the Trump lane. Maybe there's a Trump lane, a grassroots lane, a traditional Republican lane. Where does Tripp Pittman go into this? Where do other players go if he gets in?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. I know this. I know that Tommy Tuberville is trying to play the Trump lane. I mean, that's really what he's trying to do. Tuberville's like, hey, look, I'm just this Christian conservative. I want to support Trump. I think this country's going in the wrong direction. I want to support Trump. I'm supporting Trump. So he's trying to stake that lane out. I would think that, personally, guys like Tripp Pittman and Bradley Byrne, they're sort of in the same lane, and the only guy, more establishment Republican type, and Bradley Byrne is sort of the bigger dog because he's a congressman. Across the state, that probably carries more weight. You would know more about that region down there. And can Tripp Pittman significantly cut in to a Bradley Byrne in that region? And then you have this other angle with Arnold Mooney, a state representative from Shelby County, who has the support of Congressman Bo Brooks from North Alabama. Allegedly, he's going to have some support of the Club for Growth, and a lot of conservative money could come in, and he could be sort of the traditional conservative, the pre-Trump era conservative that you would normally see running against more of the establishment guy like Byrne.
Who is that? That's good.
How much money is there? I don't know.
That's good, and Dale, that's good, because that's in your neck of the woods, and he was on the show with me on Monday announcing this, and I'm trying to figure out where he settles in, because obviously friends, you know, and worked for Congressman Brooks, and was saying some of the, I gotta tell you, just frankly, and maybe your assessment's the best because you know the lay of the land up there, but was saying kind of Mo Brooks things to me, and maybe, you know, people said, oh yeah, Sullivan will like it if you say this, that, and the other, and then he made references to Rand Paul. And of course, you know, I said, okay. Then he went and said, you know, I'm a constitutional conservative. And then I asked him the question. I said, okay, but you've named people, whether you're talking about Mike Lee or Rand Paul. These senators have taken votes that have been against Trump policies. They have been contrary to Trump. They have been a thorn in his side on some based on their adherence to their code, what they believe in. And he said, well, I said, so how would you do that? If you had a situation where to be a constitutional conservative, you had to take this vote, but it was contrary to President Trump. He ducked that one so fast and didn't give me any traction on it. So, I mean, where can you be both? Can you say you're going to be constitutional conservative, but you're going to be the most Trumpy of them all?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, really. I don't know how this all is going to play. I mean, the real question is, are people taking Tuberville seriously? And the that question has to get answered first. And I don't even mean like policy or why. Will they vote for the guy? Most of the stuff I see, I'll vote for anyone but Jones. And then you say, well, we're talking about the primary. And they're like, oh. So I don't know how serious they're taking Tuberville at this point. He's going to be the big decider. He could very well be the front runner. Or he could just be spoiler. And then what's going to happen when Roy Moore jumps in? Who knows?
Well, yeah, then you're talking about name recognition. Go back to that, I don't know, it's like a month old or whatever, that Mason-Dixon poll that showed, for better or for worse, the best name brand ID, even though they did not put Tuberville in that poll for some reason. He had already announced. But that was Roy Moore, once again, just like it was going into the special. Same thing is true now. Roy Moore's got the name brand ID, although I would argue that Tuberville is probably equal or maybe a horse ahead, maybe, in name recognition.
Yeah, name recognition, but he is a really, really, really tarnished brand. And there's more to being a tarnished brand than he's the guy who had the Ten Commandments monument or any of that stuff. Now he's the guy that everyone thought was a child molester or said was a child molester. I mean, he's got a different kind of tarnish on him now. I don't think he's as powerful as he would normally be, but if it's a crowded field and we're starting to get to five or six people, his 25, his 30% means a lot more in that field.
All right. Well, I know you'll talk more about it on Guerrilla Politics this weekend, and we'll check you out online at WVNN.com. My buddy Dale Jackson, thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab your calls and text at 343-0106. We're live at the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's Job Expo, Business Expo, and Job Fair. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Hey, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's Business Expo and Job Fair. And it's just like, it's busy here. So doing two things. I'm visiting with folks here on the floor and doing this thing we call Midday Mobile. So glad y'all are sticking with us. And Dalton, did you see, like, we're number one, we got the audio going there from WKRG from Devin's report about what went on in Montgomery today. Also, before I left the studio, the Senate had passed the medical marijuana bill to legalize medical marijuana. Do you have any kind of breakdown on that vote? Was it a narrow margin, big margin? Anything else came out? Oh yeah, here it is. Yeah, 17-6. It was a big margin.
Yeah, pretty big margin. I found that out when I saw from your Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 when you retweeted that the Senate passed that, and then of course from our WKRG news update that whatever went on during that abortion, not really a vote, I guess, but sounded like
it was
like
a motion. Yeah, it was a motion.
Okay,
a
motion. And Brian Lyman, who of course covers the state, he summed it up basically by saying, so Alabama Senate passes medical marijuana, which never happens, and then a huge, I don't know if he used the word kerfluffle, but a lot going on today in Montgomery.
Okay, I mean, this just goes back, though, to what we've been saying even before this session started. I told folks, I said, watch this. I mean, I think it's of interest. Doesn't mean you have to be for it or against it, just of interest. That first thing up, what was that? Gas tax hike, right? Gas tax hike, Republican bill. pushed not only by members of the Republicans in the legislature, backed by the governor. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying let's talk about this. Next on our list, let's talk about lottery. Okay, lottery. Two lotto bills, both of them Republican bills, vying it against each other. One, the All-Britain bill, looks like it has the better chance here, but both Republican bills. The discussion of Medicaid expansion that we talked to former State Senator Trip Pittman about last hour. And he was explaining all the reasons that he thought it was not a good idea for Alabama. But there's Republican support for Medicaid expansion. Okay, once again, not saying you should be for or against it, but just pointing out Republicans are behind this. And now the state Senate, that is like the House, like the Blunt Mansion, all controlled by the Republicans, passes a medical marijuana bill. What's happened? Oh, yeah, it's the start of a quadrennium. I forgot. They're as far away from Election Day as they can be. That's what happened. God, silly me. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Midday Mobile rolls on this Thursday. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. Call me up, 343-0106. And we'll talk about a couple things. I do want to get to some text here in just a second. But before that, you know what? We'll do this. You can do both. If you're calling and you want to chime in about this medical marijuana bill, you want to talk in a little bit about possible primary on the Democrat side, any of the other subjects, you can do that and also qualify as one of your calls to being caller number 6. Because right now I'm looking for caller number 6 at 343-0106. I got a pair of tickets for you to Saturday's 99 Bottles of Beer on the Lawn at Southern Napa in Daphne. 99 different beers to sample from Mobile, Baldwin County, Alabama, Southeast, around the world. Tickets $35 for the rest of us who didn't win, but if you go to southernnapa.com, my buddy Jim Cox will give you a discount of $5 per ticket if you use the code on their website, southernnapa.com, where it has a little code, put in FM Talk, and you'll get the discount. Caller number 6, you get the big discount because I got a pair of tickets for you. Good luck, 343-0106. Oh, and while we're doing that, while we're talking about beverages here, I wonder why, you know, you see a lot more in the world of craft beers, individual brewers, you see new liquor brands, you see stores, you see fantastic local places, and also big box stores getting into liquor. But why so much attention? Is it just, well, how about this? New study out, this is globally, the amount of alcohol people drink all over the world has skyrocketed over the past few decades. Like 70% more alcohol than we were consuming in 1990. According to their stats, the average adult has one drink every single day. Let me argue that when you look at these, what this is a sign of is a developing world. A sign is a sign of people, new middle classes, people that are moving from subsistence to a little better. Not saying subsistence cultures don't have some sort of fermented drink, they do, but probably nothing that registers in sales and sales taxes and those kind of things. So I'd point out to have a little measure of looking at these stats and saying, when they say that our consumption of alcohol globally has gone up by 70%, think about the number of people that have been moved out of poverty into where you could purchase something like a luxury item like that. Okay, according to the new study, the amount of alcohol has gone up, consumption gone up 70%. Adults across the world drank a total of 9.4 billion, that be with a B, y'all, billion gallons of pure alcohol in 2017. No, they weren't drinking the PGA. They're just saying if you averaged it out, it would be that much, 9.4 billion. Averages out to 1.7 gallons of pure alcohol per adult. That means the average adult is having roughly one drink every single day. When you think of all the people out there who don't drink, well, the rest of us, I guess, are making up for the average. And if things are projected to keep going the way they're going, by 2030, it looks like a quarter of the adults in the world will at least binge drink once a month. Now, think about regions of the world where they have not had the means or the money to binge drink, and now you introduce binge drink. Think about what happens when they do the binge drinking down at spring breaks. Like they do. Imagine when that hits Kazakhstan. Not that they're not having, but imagine when somebody in the they can get a keg somewhere in Mongolia. Not that they weren't drinking before, but if they can get Jägermeister in Mongolia. So that was just a stat. I wanted to roll out and let you know because it was some breaking booze news out there. All right, congratulations to It's coming in on the tech. Jason from Spanish Fort, good work. Won tickets not far from your house there. Good. 99 bottles of beer on the lawn. That, of course, going on Saturday, starting at 1, going 1 to 4 at Southern Napa in Daphne. Tickets online. Buy them right now, southernnapa.com. Make sure to use the code FMTALK. Just FMTALK and get $5 off each ticket there. All right, speaking of money, too, this is a great story. Maybe we'll get Jason Johnson on the show tomorrow if we have time. If not, we'll do it early next week if he says yes. Jason's story over at Lanyap, New Lanyap, LanyapMobile.com. Alabama PACT increased benefits payments, increases benefit payments to contract holders. Now, this is interesting because, number one, if you are somebody who has one of these PACT accounts like we do for our student, for our children in the house to be able to go to state schools. And remember all the stuff that went on when Kay Ivey was in charge of that, remember? Well, now the story over at Lanyap says that State Treasurer John McMillan has announced the most recent increase to Alabama's prepaid affordable college tuition program, a 7% increase in the rates its contract holders receive to cover tuition and other fees. That's going to be good. He said, we were able to protect and enhance account holders' investments thanks to support the legislature has provided through sound financial management of the fund. We are proud to be able to provide the fifth increase in payments to account holders. Because if y'all remember the history of this PAC program, or families like mine, that we were really worried what we were going to have when our kids got ready to go to school. For 29 years, more than 76,251 families in Alabama bought PACT contracts, which allowed them to pay at their own pace towards credits for their college, children's college tuition and other expenses. By paying years in advance, families were hoping to avoid tuition hikes in the future. All right, we'll get more into the story on that. But, yeah, I just raised my hand because we're one of those families, and I watch all those PACT stories like a hawk because it makes a big difference to those two Sullivan kids in my house. All right, let's take some phone calls here. And is it Diane and Foley? Diane?
Hi, it is.
Hey, Diane. Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
I'm on my vehicle. I never usually talk on the phone, but I thought it was such a good thing to call in. I have a hearing aid business in Foley. And in our back, we have several offices there, and they do sell the CBD. I was kind of concerned about it, and I wanted to see if it worked. I did. My son has it. My husband and I can see improvement. So there are several elderly people I work with, and it's been helping them out. The stuff that they have in the office is 500 milligrams, and it's the lotion instead of the oil. And it works great, and I highly recommend it. I think it's a good thing. It's made a lot of people where it's helping with their pain. I saw firsthand, so I, kind of skeptical about new things coming out, but this was a great thing. I think it's great for the people, especially the elderly, to have so many aches and pains, and I have to be one of them, so it worked. I just thought it was a good thing, and I would call in and highly recommend it to people to look at.
Yeah, well,
there's
good.
Different ones out there. The one we had is a lotion. It's got 500 milligrams. Some of them only have, 50 milligrams. There's a couple other ones that have 300 milligrams. But this does well. The lotion seems to work really, really well. So we've been trying all of them. To be truthful with you, I was trying to see if there was a difference, and there is. So they can look around, and the CBD is definitely good for them.
All right, there it is, the word from Diane on that. Hey, by the way, everybody, tomorrow we're going to do it again on the show. Terry Breitung is going to come back in. He's with Azalea City Hand and Rehab. Remember, that's the probably been the most downloaded show over the last few months that we've done on Midday Mobile. We did a full-hour discussion on CBD and how it, just kind of how it works for people. Jennifer Adkins will join us as well, talking about the science behind it, in their opinion, what they think it does for healing, like Diane just said. We'll talk to them and take your questions tomorrow, too, because we get questions all the time about this stuff at the station, and I've got no idea. But what I can do is bring people to you that might be able to answer some of those questions. So tomorrow, the same folks that were on with me about, Dalton, 2-3 months ago, that's Terry Brighton and Jennifer Adkins, and they are with Azalea City Hand and Rehab, and they are a distributor for CBD products here in Mobile. They'll be on tomorrow, so Q&A, if you got questions lined up, things you're wondering about with the CBD, tomorrow starting at noon, your chance to ask those and get their answers there. So I don't know, that's why Diana called, because I had mentioned that was coming up on tomorrow's show. And also, too, if you have that story I'll try to link it through on my Twitter feed, although you have to you'll get the first part of it, but if you don't subscribe at lanyetmobile.com, you may not be able to read the rest of it. But it's a good story from Jason Johnson. This is important. I mean, there's 76,251 families in Alabama that are part of this PAC program, and we are one of those families. And I tell you, I was frankly worried for a long time that what we had put money down for our children to be able to have a way to pay for college for both of them going forward in state schools was not going to be there. Remember when the economy tanked, we were told, number one, the value of those PAC programs went down, and people were actually at some point were talking about that it would be collapsed entirely, that it was going to be gone. I mean, not just it would pay less, that it wouldn't be there. But now, looking a lot better, at least according to this latest story, more funding in there, and that's good news. By the way, yeah, PAC program currently has 14,839 active contracts, and we'll look into this and try to get Jason on the show tomorrow to talk more about that. All right, coming right back, we are live at the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's 2019 Business Expo Job Fair. And y'all come by. See us. We're at the grounds, and we'll be here till 2. I'd love to see you when you stop on by our booth. And we'll be right back. FMTalk1065.com, too. Check us out online.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and we are live at the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission's 2019 Business Expo and Job Fair. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to do this again next year, and let's do this too. As I'm doing, it's been like ticket-a-rama today, which is a good thing. A good thing for you too with this big weekend ahead. We gave you tickets to 99 Bottles of Beer last. That event coming up on Saturday in Daphne. Well, coming up on Saturday night down at the Wharf Amphitheater, the very funny Jim Gaffigan and his Quality Time Tour is there. And let's do this, Dalton. Color 6, or I guess we can't do 6.5, like 6.5. Sorry. So caller 6 at 343-0106. That's our phone number, y'all. 343-0106. Caller number 6. Got a pair of tickets for you. Check out Jim Gaffigan at the Wharf Amphitheater. Tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.com. Wharf box office or charge by phone. 800-745-3000. Those tickets are yours if you're caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. That show Saturday night at the Wharf Amphitheater. All right. And it gotten a couple texts here about the PAC program. Let me run back through quickly here. We got derailed by the CBD, which we'll do tomorrow. By the way, noon tomorrow, all noon hour tomorrow, CBD discussion. The same crew that came in before from Azalea City Hand and Rehab, they'll be back in with us, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow starting at noon. But I want to get back into this PAC program story from Jason Johnson over at Lanyap, in New Lanyap or lanyapmobile.com. This is important to, let's see, 76,251 families in Alabama, as he quotes, but yeah, it's self-serving because we're one of those families. We have this for our children, my wife and I do, and I've been watching it. Was really, really worried about this PAC program when the economy started to tank. And so he runs through this, and he's painting the picture as of today. And go back here. He said the board of the Alabama Prepaid Affordable College Tuition Program, the acronym PACT, approved a 7% increase in rates its contract holders received to cover tuition and other fees. State Treasurer John McMillan announced the most recent increase, which will be effective beginning this fall semester of 2019. So I know parents are listening to this. This is, and I'm going to read through some of the text, too, people that have children. I have young ones. My eldest is 13, but I'm reading texts from people who have their children already at Auburn and Alabama. McMillan said, we're able to protect and enhance account holders' investments thanks to support the legislature has provided and through sound financial management of the fund. We are proud to be able to provide the fifth increase in payments to account holders. Okay, so here it goes, the flip side. This is what had us so worried in our house. Only a decade, Jason writes, only a decade ago, the PAC program came close to collapsing entirely after steep losses in the stock market and a steady stream of tuition increases left the program with hundreds of millions of dollars less than it was obligated to pay out the contract holder. See what I'm saying? See, wouldn't you have been worried? We were. With the help of legislative subsidies from the Education Trust Fund, y'all, the ETF, the program was stabilized, and as it stands today, the PACT program has funding needed to pay out the benefits it owes to the remaining contract holders. though it stopped selling new contracts in 2008. The PAC program currently has 14,839 active contracts as part of a settlement agreement in a class action lawsuit filed by PAC contract holders years ago. The board agreed to lock the rates it would pay for tuition and qualified fees at the level they were in 2010. Contract holders have been left to make up the difference since then. However, as the program's financial outlook has improved, the PAC board has been able to add to the value of those benefits through rate increases, including the most recent hike announced yesterday. PAC board has been able to increase the rate of its benefit payments to contract holders five times in the past 5 years, rates of 3%, 6%, 8%, 7%, and 7%, respectively. Okay, so that's the good news for those of us that are in that program. And I want to look at the text line and give you some stories here, some real-world stories. Also, I want to congratulate, I just went away, David from Fairhope. Good work. David won those tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan on Saturday night at the Wharf Amphitheater. Now, this is, let's see here, from, I'm just kind of, y'all, work with me here as I'm doing this in a with a slow link on, why does it always stop? Okay, there we go. Thank you. This text from Trey says, I have two kids with the PAC program currently at Auburn University. It has paid the majority of tuition, but does not pay or currently is not paying 100% of the tuition. Well, that's one of the benefits here, that hopefully by semester this fall is what it looks like. This fall, it will be paying more, another 7% more. And I don't know the numbers on your students at Auburn, but that 7% more may get it to full tuition. That was the idea. Like, I don't know, Trey, when we bought it, we thought the idea would be we'd pay along the way, do what we could here, and put this money in, fully fund it, and then we would lock in those tuition rates from way back then, which have done nothing but go up and up and up, and be able to have secured, or at least, yeah, secured a price that we, you know, would be well ahead in 2025, 2026, paying those rates. But I was really worried, like so many other families, that this whole thing was going to collapse way back when. Well, that's good news. So we'll see. Hopefully it stays that way. I would like to see them make sure it's shored up, like we were talking about last hour with former state senator Trip Pittman. Eventually, the economy isn't as good. Right now, it's fantastic. I hope it continues for a long, long time. But just the nature of economies, we'll go through a bad turn again. And I don't want to be in the same position that we were a decade ago with this PAC program. So that is good news on that front. All right, we're about to wrap it up out here, and we will be back with you tomorrow morning, bright and early, for Mobile Mornings. And a reminder, too, tomorrow, just said it, but this is that show, the podcast of the first time the crew from Azalea City Hand and Rehab, and they sell the CBD oil and the lotion and all that there, when they were on with us last time, is probably one of our more downloaded podcasts. They're going to join us tomorrow. Terry Brighton, he's an occupational therapist. Jennifer Atkins will join us to talk about, number one, the legalities, because we talked about them with them the first time when the Farm Bill came out and talked about what was legal for CBD, that 0.03% THC. Anything from there and below is legal. But then talking about, so what's legal, how it's applied, who's using it. I've, you know, it's not my thing. Thank goodness I don't have the aches and pains, would need something like that. But I know a lot of people are very interested in this, so that's why we're having them back in to talk about it. So if you've had questions, you want to have people ready to listen tomorrow that have been asking you questions, well, that's going to happen starting at noon tomorrow right here on Midday Mobile. All right, Dalton, big thank you. Appreciate your help back in the studio, and we will be wrapping it up here. But hopefully we'll be back out here next year. So big thank you to the crew with the South Alabama Regional Planning Commission and the folks that put this on at the grounds. A lot of fun. All right. Manana, y'all. Have a great one. Fine bomb on the way next.